Аз съм Габи Коева и аз съм Beyond Athletic.
Beyond Athletic, episode 31.
Whatever situation you are, when you think you are, people are not giving you what you deserve, try to silence your ego and learn something from the situation.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are Beyond Athletic. Hey there, it's a beautiful day here in Serbia. The sun's out and shining, and I am pleased to bring you Gabriela Koeva of national team of Bulgaria. Currently, she's playing volleyball in Istanbul, Turkey for Besiktas, and today we get into a ton of stuff. I'm so happy to have her on. We talk about how she made the decision to get into volleyball instead of basketball, since both of her parents were basketball. We talk about some of her failures, some of her great mentors like Nesic and Svetlana Ilic, and we talk about how she grew up as a person in Switzerland when she was abroad with her first pro team outside of Bulgaria. And that along the way, how many of the things she's done, like the silver last year in the CEV Cup, which was totally unexpected from her team, and how a really rough season in terms of results for her team in Italy was still a win for her in terms of personal goals, by hitting, I think, something like 70-80+% most of the season. And so tons to learn from her. And on a side note, she is very vital in this movement for Beyond Athletic and impacting and adding value to beyond a million athletes worldwide, which is my mission. And I'm just so lucky to have her. She's also a guest blogger on elitevolley.com and beyondathletic.com. So I thank her for all of that and all that she does. You've got to go check her out. If you're listening to this, make sure you tweet right now at Gabi Koeva. That's G-A-B-I-K-O-E-V-A. And just say, hey, I'm listening. I love it. Thank you. Whatever you want to say, hit her up and just let her know that you heard this. She's also helping run the Elite Sports Students Bulgarian version, which is a Facebook group and basically connecting students to mentors. So you can also check her out at beyondathletic.com/Gabi. So without any further ado, enjoy this episode with Team Bulgaria's and Besiktas volleyball player, Gabriela Koeva. What's up, everybody? I'm Ryan J. Owens. Today's an athlete case study, where you learn to be great, not just in sport, but in life. Today's featured guest, Gabriela Koeva. Gabriela, ready to go beyond?
Always ready, Ryan.
So, Gabriela's brief bio goes like this. She was born July 25th, 1989 in, what is it, Pleven,
yes.
Yeah, Bulgaria. She's 6'2", which is 188 centimeters, a middle blocker in volleyball. She's currently living and playing in Istanbul, Turkey for Besiktas. And that's in the top league, where last year, with the same team in CEV Challenge Cup, she earned a silver medal. Congratulations. She started volleyball at 13 and then moved on to SKA Sofia in Bulgaria. Then she moved on to a foreign team in Switzerland, playing in the top league for Valero, where she earned a Swiss Cup championship and a league title championship. Then she moved to Italy, my favorite country, their top league, where she played for Pavia, which is actually a city just south of Milan. So people know, what is that, like 30 minutes, 20 minutes?
Yeah, yeah. Approximately.
So, yeah. And she was a dominant player there. She's been a Bulgarian national team player since 2007 and has a bronze from the Euro Volley League in 2011, correct?
Yes, and right. Also silver from the year after.
Boom! See, I knew there was something else. She has her major in business admin and also her master's degree. We're going to get into that, but that's impressive because she did it via satellite, let's say, so not in the same country where she is. And she's also one of Elite Sports Students' founding mentors, which I'm really, really excited about. So, Gabriella, that's a bit about you. Why don't you share a bit more about you personally? And then let us know where you are now with your goals in life.
It goes pretty much like that. Both of my parents are former basketball players. And I practically grew up in a basketball gym, watching basketball. I still love that game. I watch basketball games every chance I get. And I actually chose volleyball because that was the only option for me when I was a kid. Since there was no more female basketball where I was born, there was just female volleyball. And that's how I started. So parents, you know, sports community is small. Everybody was expecting that I would eventually do something. I got requests for track and field, for volleyball, for, you know, everything possible. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Volleyball. I chose volleyball. I graduated recently. I got my degree. So now I'm focusing on volleyball, on my performance, on things beyond volleyball also. This project that we have going on now is one of those things. I was not expecting that actually, but it's something I'm looking forward on working. And I can't wait to launch it already, so we'll see how it goes.
Well, let's get more into some specific moments in your career coming up here soon. But first, would you like to share a quote or a motto that you believe in?
A quote. I think my favorite quote is what my dad used to tell me when I was starting with volleyball, is that I should remember that talent is only 1% of an athlete's life, and the other 99% are hard work, and more hard work.
Yeah, I love
that. My favorite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he always used to say, I have seen so many talents end up as being just talents. Mm-hmm. So don't just accept that you have the talent if you do, or the genes, if you want, you know, you have to work for it. So that was driving me, I think, a lot throughout the years.
No, this is really important, and I love that takeaway from that. I mean, it's a pretty simple one from this quote, and some of the best things that, and quotes really, to me, they're just little reminders, you know, they're like little post-it notes. So they just keep us on track with where our vision of our future is and what we have to do to get there. And hard work is just nothing beats hard work. Nothing. So I'd like just now, because you can also work your butt off your whole life, right? But if you do it alone, there's only so much you can do. And so you need people along the way to help you. So could you share a couple or however many you want of the most influential, the biggest mentors in your life so far in sport?
Dragan Nešić, he was the first coach that ever sent me an invitation for the senior national team. I was pretty young. I was 17, I think. And one of the people that I think I learned the most from, volleyball-wise, he was really working a lot with young players. And yeah, grateful for having the chance to work with him. And I'm going to be working with him also this summer, since he's going to be again our national team coach. Excited about it. I think also Svetlana Ilić in my two seasons in Bolero Zurich. She was pretty influential too. I learned a lot of things from her, some things the hard way. but she really showed me many things also besides volleyball. She was the first one to ever talk to me, to our team about mental preparation, mental trainings, and things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm also a lot of players that I met, different teams, different countries I played in, they taught me quite a lot. Nice. I think these were my biggest mentors in sport.
Yeah.
But I still believe you learn from every coach. It doesn't matter how you evaluate him. Is he good or is he a bad coach? You can take something from everyone, I think.
Yeah, that's really important that people remember that. I do love that you shared that. And while we are highlighting some of like these spots along the road, you know, so far in your life, there is a lot you can take from everything. It always is. It just depends on the perspective that you look at it. So thank you for sharing that. So, like we were saying, the road to our dreams, both in life and in sport, it's not easy. And where we're going to start now is with a time that you struggled in your sport or in life. And I want you to just take us back to that moment so that we could feel like as if it were a film. We were back in that moment with you and walk through it with us.
I think we all fail, like, on a daily basis. And it's important that we learn from our failures, of course. And I failed many times. I can't really tell you like a big failure or a struggle, but I don't know. I can tell you, I sat on the bench in national team many times. It's always hard, you know, knowing that you're doing your best and it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess situations like this taught me to look forward, to never give up, and to, again, try to give my best.
Yeah.
I believe sooner or later, hard work pays off.
Mm. So let's dive into that. I mean, let's take it back to, I'm sure you had, for instance, some struggles with that, being on the bench with the national team. Maybe you can just take us to a moment where, for instance, it was the hardest for you while you're on the bench and kind of what was going through your mind, because there's going to be people in that situation, right? There's people in that situation right now. I know many of them.
Yes.
And so what I want to do is basically talk about what that was like and then what you did and what you focused on to move forward, because some people, Gabby, they don't move forward from that. They get stuck.
It can be pretty rough to be in that situation. Probably one of the first things that comes to your mind is like you're upset, you don't agree, you want to be on the court, you want to be on the squad, you think you deserve better, you deserve more. First of all, I was always trying to silence my ego, because this is always your ego speaking. And then I was trying to look objectively on the situation, because after all, it's a national team and all the best players from your country are playing there, so you have to give them respect. I mean, good players, they're not just random people there on the court. And what I do to move forward, what I did to move forward, I think was just going out to the next practice, focusing on getting better on my skills, trying to show I deserve a place on the squad, in the court. And competition is always a good thing. I think without competition, we're not able to move forward and to evolve as players or as people.
Yeah.
So for anyone in this situation, try to find the positive side of it.
Yeah.
Try to learn something from the experience and don't just take it as granted.
Yeah.
I'm in national team, I'm supposed to play, or in whatever situation you are. When you think people are not giving you what you deserve, try to silence your ego and learn something from the situation.
Yeah, I love those great takeaways, because silencing your ego for people out there, I mean, another way to put it is humility. And to just be humble.
Yeah, be humble.
And exactly. Ego is good in some ways, and it's also bad in some ways. I mean, there's a level that's Perhaps, I mean, some people out there have bigger egos and manage to deal with it, but it's always good to say, for instance, in a previous interview, it's going to release soon, but talking about this exact thing and saying, well, good ways to do it are like, think about somebody else. How could you add value and how could you still compete? So like, for instance, the players that are starting in your position, how can you help them? What do you see on the court from your perspective that they might not see? Give them that information. It's not a competition where you need to knock their knees out from under them. It's a competition that's friendly. And you got to remember that because it's a team sport. It's not an individual sport. And in the individual sports, then you're just competing with your own mind. So thanks for sharing all that. And silence your ego. Look at it objectively and stay positive. So great takeaways. Now, we all have moments, right? I mean, I could look back on a million of them, but what I'd like you to do is just take us to a time where, for instance, it was an important point or time in a match where you made a mistake, an error, because we're going to make them. And if you could remember it, maybe it was on a big stage, maybe it was just a day-to-day, you know, week-to-week match, doesn't matter. But what happened and what did you do to keep yourself moving forward?
So we won the first set. We started really good. Then we struggled a little bit the second set. And what happens is the player before me mistakes a serve. Then my turn comes. I go to serve. And the score is 24-24. And I've been serving great till that point. I love serving. I know I got it. I'm just standing there. I toss the ball and I toss it too low and it goes straight in the net. I was so upset. I couldn't believe I just did that. It's ridiculously stupid. You know, I'm an experienced player already. I'm not that young. I don't make mistakes like that. So then I sit on the bench. We lost the set, obviously. It went like 5-6 more rallies. It ended 27-25. Anyways, we lost it. And I kind of immediately started blaming myself about it. Then I said before the third set, and I thought to myself, okay, set is gone. It's just 1 point. You made a mistake. It's not your fault. Focus on the next set. Start over. Do your thing. Try to keep in mind the goals you have. Focus on the small things and forget about it. So that's pretty much what I do when I'm upset about the situation on the court or a mistake I made. I'm trying not to stay too long in that situation. I'm trying to immediately switch off with a positive thought, focus on small things, technically, tactically on the game, and that gets me out of it pretty quick.
Yeah. It's really fun that you said that because I think a lot of players have been in this situation, whatever sport they're in, where someone else might have made a mistake and then you come and you do one. And we could go into this mental state of, oh my God, it was my fault, everything and blah, blah, blah. But I love how you said, you know, okay, I made a mistake. So you owned it. You said, I did it. I understand that. But it's not my fault. The whole thing, meaning it's a team effort. So I want to clarify that for people that the not my fault is that it's a team effort. So everybody's the same amount responsible for everything that happens as a team. So and then all the other
situations like that can occur also in individual sports.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're playing tennis and it's a really crucial moment and you make a mistake. Of course, it's an individual sport. You blame yourself for the mistake.
Yeah.
You have no one else to blame. Your coach is in the tribune. Nobody's interacting with the ball on the court except you. But still, I think you should get out of these situations pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
The more you think about it, the more mistakes you make. It's scientifically proven. If you think about making a mistake, you make another one.
Exactly. This is why visualizations are so amazing, because you can trick your mind and say, okay, I can just see myself doing it, and then your body's going to do it if you stop worrying about it. So, all right. Let's move to something a little more positive, and we're going to swing it in that direction because, I mean, this was a lot of, like, the bad things, and you've done so much, and we already know that, so we definitely want to know how you got there, but let's talk about a light bulb moment in your life where you just realize this is the path? You know, you're standing at, let's say, a T. One street is coming into a street that goes left or right, and you just go, this is the way I've got to go. When was that?
I don't know. I guess throughout the years, you face a lot of crossroads that you have to make choices. And I don't know. I guess I always come back to these 2-3 years in Switzerland because they were really, I grew up a lot there as a person. And it was, I'm not going to lie here, it was really, really difficult also mentally. But I grew up a lot there and I realized for myself that there is so much more to volleyball and to your life. And you can do so many things to get better, to add value to people around you. And I don't know, I guess that's the moment for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't always have to be. And like you said, there's so many, right? I mean, if you were to switch the tables on me and ask me the same thing, I mean, there are so many aha moments for, you know, little things or big things in my life that I, you know, could have chosen one way, but I chose another way. But I think what's great about these moments is that you struggle, right? And then at some point, you just go, oh my God, like really a light bulb. Yeah, I get it now. And so these are really defining moments, because you need to know, and listeners out there, you need to know that if you struggle enough and you make sure that you're learning something from those struggles, you're always going to be moving forward. So thanks for sharing that. And I do love that part that you said about how you grew up a lot in Switzerland, because this is one of the things that if people out there are thinking about making a change in their life, right? And one of the best ways to make a huge change in your life to, for instance, move towards your goal, let's say if you're not getting towards it, is to change your location. Because you change your location, you change your perspective, you change everything that's going on, you upset what's already happening, which means you challenge yourself, and now you have room to grow. So I think that anybody thinking about moving a step in another direction, like a different country, different city, whatever, take that chance. You'll grow. You'll learn from it. You can always go back to wherever you were. So thank you for sharing that. And now let's talk about one of your proudest moments.
Okay. In sports, I played finals in EuroLeague with national team. And last season, I played final in Challenge Cup. And yeah, I think I can match pretty much my proudest moment last year with my biggest disappointment, because it's not easy losing in front of a home crowd. Mm-hmm. But still, I'm proud of what we did. Nobody expected us to do this, since we were not originally supposed to play Challenge Cup. We got a wild card. We won Balkan Cup first. And then we arrived to the finals. So it was a pretty amazing thing to do. And in my personal life, I'm proud of being able to keep up with my studying and being a student from distance, getting my degree. And yeah. That's pretty much.
What about this? I mean, it's not very common for players really to stay focused on the goal of, for instance, graduating from some university, because it's not so much that you graduate from the university, but it's that you acquire the knowledge to get to wherever it is that you want to be in life, right? And you have this plan in place. And so for you, I mean, what led you to this studying that you did from abroad, and why?
Well, let me start from far a little bit. I was studying in a language profiled high school till I was 13, before I started with volleyball. And if I wanted to play volleyball professionally, I had to change my high school and go into a sports profile high school, where you get less, like, you less classes daily, but then you have two times practicing, you're focusing on your sport. And since my brother graduated from that language profile high school, I have an older brother, he was kind of trying to convince me not to go to the sports school because I'm not going to be studying enough, you know, I'm going to decrease my grades probably or something like that. And this is probably one of the things that always drove me to study hard, to work hard. And I was kind of a geek at school. I was coming from an elite high school to a sports profile high school. And it was kind of easier for me. So I was always studying hard. My grades were excellent all the time. I was at the same time focusing on my sport. So when I graduated high school, I actually graduated with the class 1 year older than me. And I didn't want to postpone it. I wanted to do something immediately. So I was champion of Bulgaria. I had gold medal from the championship. And the easiest thing at that point, I'm not proud of it, I'm saying it was the easiest thing to do, was to apply in the National Sports Academy in a coaching profile where I get excellent just because I have a gold medal in volleyball test. So I practically don't have a volleyball exam there. And I just have the language exams, and that's how I got in. I studied there for a couple of years, but it was never, I don't see myself as a coach. I don't believe everybody can be a coach because it requires a lot of things except knowledge for volleyball. So when I had to go abroad, there was no possibility for me to study, continue with my education at that university. And I decided to quit. I spent one summer without studying. Then I realized I'm stuck in this place where I don't know where to go, what to do. I don't want to wait for, I don't know, another 15 years when I stop playing professionally and then I can start studying again. I was thinking my brain would get slow. I would forget to read and to study and to work, you know. So I started searching for options. Luckily, it was just the beginning at this thing in Bulgaria because not many universities are doing this. But there were a couple already trying to work from distance. They have platforms online, lessons online. You write like cases, paperwork all the time. So I decided to give it a try. I applied. Economics was something that was, I was always good with the math, and I mean, I thought I would be good at it. I gave it a try. I got accepted, and that's how I started. And this was making me feel like I'm doing something meaningful with my life. I'm working for myself, for my future after sports. And that's how I got my major. But I'm, I don't know, ambitious, as I said. I was a geek always, so I wanted to do the most of it, take the most of it. Since I had the possibility to continue doing it, I wanted to do also my master's. And here I am. Got my degree. That's the whole story.
It's a great story, and I think a lot of people are going to find themselves in these certain points along the way, like you mentioned. And one of the things that I take away from that is that there's always this need to be challenged. And this is what I see time and time again with the people that I have on Beyond Athletic, is that the people that are the most successful are always... if they feel themselves get too comfortable, and you know, like you said, you felt like, oh my God, pretty much I'm going to get more stupid, or I'm not going to be this or that, you know? You said, okay, all right, well, I've got to change something. I have to challenge myself. And instead of just looking for what was right in front of your face, what I think is extraordinary is that you went outside the box and you said, how can I get this, what I want, but also stay on this path that I'm on? And so I want people to take that away. You don't have to just take what's in front of you. You can do some research, you know. If you want something, look it up. Find ways, talk to people, look online like Gabby did, and find something that fits you. So I love that personally. So congratulations. And I mean, this is coming from somebody where I went to 4 years of school and I didn't get my degree. And do I want to do it? I do want to get it. But to be perfectly honest, like for me, it's more of just like I went through those 4 years and it was all successful, because in entrepreneurship, I don't really think I really need it, but I do think that experience is just invaluable, you know, and that knowledge, it translates to so much in life. So thanks for sharing that. Listen, I'm going to drop some stats on you, okay? And I'm doing this in every episode, but I'm going to drop some stats about current and future, or past athletes, actually. And this is what they have to look forward to in the future if they don't plan, right? So most pro careers last 3 to 5 years, okay? And within 2 to 5 years of retiring, 60 to almost 80% of football, baseball, basketball players will end up broke, divorced, clinically depressed, or unemployed, and over 36% break the law. Now, these are stats on just the major, for instance, American sports. And what I want people out there to realize is that that's just because those are the biggest money-making sports. Think about the sports where you're not making that type of money. These numbers probably are the same or higher for people after sport if they don't have a plan in place. And so knowing that, let's talk about your current plan to be successful in life and in sport. What's got you most excited these days?
Right now, having my degree, I'm trying to be more focused on volleyball. But I guess I never lost sight on goals, like in perspective. Because, I mean, in professional sports, things happen every day. It happens. You can get injured tomorrow. Your career could end tomorrow. For sure, you have to have an idea, a backup plan, or I don't know, at least search for things that you love, things that excite you. And right now, I don't have a specific plan for what I want to do with my degree in the future, but I think I'll get there along the way. And yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
But this is part of your plan then. I mean, this is why I ask, because to be honest with you, what I see most commonly is that athletes kind of are very vague about the future. And what I want to help people understand is that you can plan out your future. You don't need to do every single step. Like, you don't need to be like, I'm going to be this, and then that's all you're going to be, for instance. You know what I mean? It could be... flexible.
Well, I think if you make plans like in long term, you cannot really be focused 100% on them, because short term plans are always better. Things change so quick, you know, from one day to another, things can change drastically, and your goals can also change along your journey. So. I think I'm focusing on like shorter term goals. And since I have many interests besides volleyball, I do a lot of things and I can't really decide yet, like I want to do just this when I retire from professional sport.
What would some of those things be that you're interested in?
I don't know. Many stuff. First of all, I am an artistic person. I like drawing. I like painting nails, drawing on nails, nail art, you can say. I love music. I love languages. I'm currently studying Turkish, and I speak other 5 languages. And I have a plan to study some more after when I feel I'm comfortable with Turkish. Other stuff. I read books all the time. I'm interested in philosophy and psychology. And yeah. I don't know. Probably in a couple of years, I would also want to get another degree. I don't know, in psychology or something. I never know what I'm gonna. I'm challenging myself on a daily basis with things like that.
Mm. I think what I'm looking for here for people to take away, because I think that yes, like you said, it's not that your goals are gonna change, you know, and like you're gonna be constantly adapting to how you are progressing as a person, because we're going to evolve as people. But one thing that I do believe is that having a vision of the future, just saying this is the type of life that I would like, and then making those smaller goals to say, how can I work towards that so that ultimately, no matter what I'm doing or where I am, I'm at that point. This is what I think would be a happy life for me. For me personally, not someone else's vision. And so vision is really what I look at in terms of, like, not really the goals, but all right, yeah. Let's move into your tip jar. This is Gabby's tip jar, okay? And we're going to go through 6 questions. And the first one being, what is the best advice you've ever received?
Always seek the positive in every situation, because things are how they are. And it's in our power to understand them how we want. So you can either take the positive or take the negative from a situation. Situation is never positive or negative. It's how we understand it.
Yeah, how we perceive it. I like that. And what's one of the first things you do when you arrive to a new team to adjust to your teammates, your city, your staff? And let's not forget, playing in a new arena?
A new team. I look forward to the first couple of practices so I can see how the coach is working with the team, so I can understand my teammates. I'm trying to get to know them a little bit in the beginning.
How?
And yeah, how? Well, volleyball-wise, feeling them on the court. I'm a middle blocker, so you would know it's always important to feel the setter, the middle blocker. That's one of the basic things in the beginning, in a new team. As I said, to see how my new coach is working, try to understand his perspective, his idea about the team. And I think getting to know the surrounding, the city, and the other stuff comes later. In the beginning, I'm always focused on the volleyball, on trying to do my best, earn my spot on the squad, not just take it for granted. For being a foreigner in another country, probably I am supposed to play, but it's not always like that. Sometimes you have too many foreigners, you have foreigner limitations, so you always have to do your best. A new arena? I don't know. I'm not one of those players that doesn't like big arenas. I actually like big arenas. I like the atmosphere, I like the crowd, I like everything about it. If I was an outside hitter, though, or an opposite, and I had to hit high balls, probably it would disturb me more. But since my timing in attack doesn't really depend on anything except the setter, I'm pretty comfortable. Maybe when I'm serving. I don't know. I check out the lights in the arena. Lights can be disturbing sometimes.
Hmm. And what personal habit do you believe contributed most to your success until now?
I'm pretty stubborn, in meaning that when I start something, I really want to finish it to feel comfortable with myself. If not, I feel kind of guilty always in front of myself. I mean, so being stubborn, like following through. When I start something, I do it till the end.
Yeah. I'd like to add a new word to your vocabulary with this one, because there's a great book by Tim Grover, who was the coach that took Michael Jordan to another level. And he's taking now some of the best NBA players to unbelievable levels. But his name is Tim Grover, and he wrote the book Relentless. And relentlessness is a fantastic way to describe the stubbornness that athletes have that just make them require themselves, you know, to give everything they've got and always finish things. So love that.
Oh, I just wanted to thank you for adding another word in my vocabulary.
Well, you already have so many.
I got to read that.
How long do you sleep and what's your morning ritual?
I sleep between 8 and 10 hours. Well, 10 is a little bit too much. I don't feel great after 10 hours, but between 8 and 10 approximately. And my morning ritual, I don't know, I make breakfast. I don't skip breakfast. I'm not one of those girls that just, I can eat in the morning. I love eating. Mm-hmm. So I cook my breakfast. I have my coffee or tea. I get up pretty early, actually. I'm a morning person, and I don't like to wake up like half hour before practice. I like to wake up a couple of hours earlier, have time to have my breakfast, coffee, prepare, wake up. Mm-hmm. I always go earlier in the gym, so I like to be on the court, starting some preparation exercise, warming up exercise, like half hour before practice. So probably like 45 minutes before practice, I'm in the dressing room, getting dressed, like shoes, knee pads, everything. Yeah. And I go on the court, foam roll, do some elastic exercise, stability exercise, stuff like that.
Yeah, mobility. I love it. And we have a guest coming on soon, and I'm not going to name names, but he's one of the world's foremost experts in mobility. So that'll be some excellent stuff that people can add to their workout or pre-training warm-up. So keep tuned for that.
I'm going to take a listen.
Yeah. And outside of being an athlete, name one way you like to improve yourself.
Always trying to learn. I believe we learn all our lives, every day, and we should never let ourselves be limited by our work, what we do for a living. Mm-hmm. So always learning, always trying to learn new stuff. Reading books, I have a bunch of them prepared.
Yeah.
I'm impatient and I buy a lot of things I like, and I can't wait to start reading them.
How do you cross train to stay fit or healthy, let's say, when you're not doing your sports?
Well, I go swimming a couple times a week, and that's one of the things that really helps me both ease some back problems that I have, also shoulders. It also helps me relax and stay fit.
Listeners can find all of these things that we've been talking about and be able to click them for the resources on the show notes on beyondathletic.com. You can just type in Gabby. Let's talk about adding value to other people, because it's so important in life that we pay it forward. We like to say in America, we pay it forward. And yeah. I'm sure you're familiar with that term. But what's one book that you would give away as a gift and why?
A book. I read the book recently and I really liked the message in it. It's not that big either. I'm going to show it to you, then I'm going to read it out loud for the listeners. It's called The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. And it practically describes the ancient art of turning adversity to advantage. What I said earlier, that there is no good or bad situation, positive or negative situation, is how we understand it. And it talks about these things. It's a little bit based on ancient philosophy. And I would give away this book to anyone who is struggling with something in life, or in sports, or in his business, or whatever, because It's giving some practical advices. It's I think the author did a pretty great job actually with this thing.
Yeah. Wonderful. I'm definitely gonna have that in the show notes. And I snuck a picture in there, so hopefully that came out clear. But is there a special program, cause, or organization that you like to support to add value to other people? And if so, why?
Well, this project that we're working on together with you and the other guys, Elite Sports Students, I'm excited about it. I think a lot of young players can be a little bit lost in the beginning of their path. So I think we can do a great job and try to guide them through their way, share our experiences. And along with these things that we're doing, I have also other requests from friends and friends of friends. And there's this this ex-basketball player that asked me to join a camp in the States this summer if I have time. He's doing camps with young kids, pretty young, I think. Not even close to being professionals yet, but I would like to participate in that too. I think it would be great for kids to meet a professional player from Europe to see different perspective on things, because I think in the States there is no professional league for girls and
for basketball,
for volleyball.
Okay.
Volleyball. I mean, my friend wanted to add also some volleyball into the camps.
Got it. That sounds awesome. And first of all, I've got to give a nice little shout out to a new friend of mine, Vlado, in Chicago, because he's doing things in basketball and he's created a program called the Basketball Ambassadors of Peace. And so what they're going to be doing is taking kids locally around the world to different cities, starting here in Belgrade, and bringing the kids from Belgrade and the surrounding area over to those cities in America. And basically having tournaments and camps so that they have that experience with professionals or other young athletes like themselves around the world. So I commend you on that, and I think that's awesome. And Vlado and I are actually joining forces with Elite Sports Students. That's going to be part of our program. And so I'd love to talk to your friend who's coaching. And I want to implore that people, if you're interested in finding mentors like Gabby and like others that have been on the show, you can just go to beyondathletic.com/ESS. And if you're looking to be a mentor like Gabby, like myself, like many others, Olympians, pros, college stars, things like that, you don't even have to be a star. You just have to attain something and be able to coach others to do what you've done just with your advice. And if you want to help out, it's beyondathletic.com/help. So before we tell listeners how to connect with you, Gabby, and follow you along your journey, there's just two things left that we're going to go through, okay?
Okay.
Gabby, I'm giving you a redo, okay? A do-over completely for your whole athletic career. It's free. I just, like, waved my wand, and now you're back to when you started playing volleyball, okay? And
okay. You
know everything that you know now, but you have the same exact resources as when you started, when you were younger. But you have Beyond Athletic podcasts with top pros, Olympians, professionals, experts in all areas of life that you can on demand hear via your phone, laptop, whatever. And that's the only thing additional that you have, plus your knowledge. What would you do differently and why?
I think if I had that magic wand and I could do all those things that you said, I think things would have happened a lot quicker for me, because all the things that I learned throughout the years. Like, it was a long journey. I'm still learning. And if I had these resources, if I could contact someone, if I can listen to other people's case studies with these podcasts, it would have helped me to learn things quicker. It's always a different experience when it happens to you or like if you experience it yourself, if you live it yourself, but you can always learn from other people's mistakes, other people's journeys, and why waste time when it's already done, when you can already hear it, read it, get the knowledge. So I think things would have developed much quicker for me.
Definitely ways that people could use the Beyond Athletic podcast. And it's a great lesson to know that, you know, wherever you are, somebody has done what you're doing and they've done what you're going to do. And there's ways to just learn from them to help your learning curve so that it's not so hard. So what I'd like people to do is be more focused on using sport as a vehicle in their life, because we all play our sport because we're passionate about it. You know, we wake up, we could eat, sleep, whatever, our sport, most people, right? And it only comes when that's all you have in your life, when you start to go, oh God, I'm tired of this, you know, usually. So learning how to use it on the road of life is really, really, really important. And knowing that most athletes are doing what I said before in those stats, and knowing that 1 out of 5 children from 7 to 13, they nominate an athlete as their role model. What would you say is your definition of an athlete?
I think athletes are very, very important in our society these days, because sports are famous, sports are entertaining. A lot of people are feeling the direct impact from sports. Like, if you have a role model, you, of course, are interested in all aspects of his professional, personal life. And we as athletes should be giving a good example to young kids, because we're influential, so we should take it seriously, I think.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. And Gabby, I'd like to turn it over to you to drop just one last knowledge bomb, which is, this time you're going to drop, let's say, a care package for your 16-year-old self. And it's going to have inside a note with what you're about to say. So be careful with what you say. And then we're going to give listeners a way to connect with you, and then we can say goodbye.
Okay, so my 16-year-old self, I would say to her, Gabby, never give up whatever obstacle comes in your way. Always have your eyes on a bigger goal. Never stop learning, and never stop giving your best. So you make sure that one day when you look back, you don't regret it. People can connect with me on Facebook if they want. I think you're going to post all those links after, but I can just say it quickly. It's Gabby Koeva on Facebook. You can text me on a private message if you want to talk about something. They can follow me on Twitter on Gabby Koeva, at Gabby Koeva. And yeah, for someone else interested, they can subscribe also in the Elite Sports Students program, and we can chat there.
So my mission is to help beyond a million athletes. And I just want to take a moment to thank you for joining me in that mission. And I want to acknowledge you, Gabby, for all that you've done over your career. I mean, from leaving your country, from having that courage, to fighting your way through, you know, team after team and these challenges, maybe being on the bench and learning how to be the player that you've learned how to be. And then outside of that, challenging yourself with your hobbies and always staying this type of person who's constantly evolving and learning. And getting your bachelor's and getting your master's and knowing that you want more out of this life than just what's handed to you. And I think that's rare. And I really want to say that I think that you're a fantastic person. And I'm just so lucky that someone grabbed a hold of this vision that I felt so true in my heart and just owned it and said, I want to do this. I want to be a part of something bigger. And that's just so rare. So thank you so much. And that means a lot. And you're becoming a friend. And that's dear to me, because friends are so dear. I just want to say thanks for coming on the show, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you for the nice words first. Thank you for having me on the show. It was a pleasure. And thank you once again for making me a part of your mission. It means a lot.
No problem. Thank you. We'll be in touch. Did you like the show? Leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher.com so others will find us, and share the love. Think of one person that could benefit and send them the link for this episode. For more resources and tips, go to beyondathletic.com or tweet us at beyondathletic. I appreciate and thank you for listening.
What are we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.